Hello again, 欢迎你又回到酒馆。今天节目开始之前，两个小通知。第一是酒馆又要做直播了。3月23日，也就是今天晚上8点，就在喜马拉雅，我和安澜带大家一起云旅行，聊聊五花八门的旅行词汇和我们私房的旅行故事。别忘了锁定时间，我们不见不散。第二呢，就是酒馆另一超值轻课正式上线，雅思考官口语模考训练营，由雅思前考官直接公开模考全过程，同样只要一杯奶茶的价钱，就可以每周近距离围观真实模考，听到考官实时详细打分点评，补充重要观点语料，彻底跳出中式模板怪圈。赶快添加小助手咨询报名吧。小助手的微信是 LULUXJG2LULU 就是露露， XJG 是小酒馆的汉语拼音首字母，最后一个数字2 LULUXJG2。 添加之后回复雅思两个字，就可以进入报名咨询群咯，我们在群里等你。 Now, on with the show.
Hi, TJ.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
So carry on from last time, we were talking about Socrates and three people who famously wrote about him.
上次我们提到三个人的不同版本的苏格拉底。
Aristophanes was someone who was bad-mouthing Socrates, and Xenophon was just writing boring accounts.Actually, perhaps realistically happened. Who was the third person?
Well, the third person is by far the most famous, and that's Plato.
Pô La Tu.
So Plato, he's Socrates' student, and he clearly has a very, very high opinion of Socrates. And Socrates, in his accounts, usually comes across as somebody that goes into conversations and shows...how little other people know, and he solves a lot of their misconceptions. Usually Socrates' opponent is very arrogant, thinks they have all the answers to what a good life is, and Socrates slowly deconstructs their positions and shows why they don't have all the answers to the questions they think they have the answers to.
Ah, so we have the good, the bad, and the middle of the road. Interesting. But if I remember correctly...Socrates was sentenced to death, right? He didn't die of a natural cause. He was actually executed.
Right, he was given hemlock, which is a kind of poison. And right, he died. He wasn't very young when he died, but he still died. And this is because he was taken to court for insulting the gods and corrupting the youth were the two charges that he was on trial for.
亵渎神明。还有就是带坏当时的这个年轻人，用他的这种危险的思想。So he did not protest against it? He just took it?
I mean, he did protest against it. So we have several books by Plato that deal with the trial of Socrates. And we think these books are probably quite accurate because when the trial was held, they would have had a jury with hundreds of people that gave a verdict.About Socrates. So Plato couldn't just have written down whatever he wanted to. These people probably wouldn't have liked it if he'd have lied. So what we do know is that Socrates said, I haven't committed these crimes. He said, I haven't. All I've done is ask some uncomfortable questions. I've not been telling anybody to do anything that's particularly bad. I've just been asking them to really, really look at their life and say, what should I do?Is this important? And things like, if the gods love us, then why do certain things happen in the world?
Yeah, I guess it was dangerous thought, wasn't it? That what he was spreading back then, it was quite dangerous, perhaps why they executed him.
Right. Well, obviously, it seems dangerous to the social order when you're really questioning the very fabric. These are the things that hold societies together, the religions and the shared beliefs and ideas.
Yeah.
And when Socrates is saying maybe they're all wrong, you can see why some people
wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
So that was about Socrates' life and also death. But back to his actual influence in his actual philosophy, what was it? Because he didn't leave any written work. It just seems like...You're saying that he had a genuine love of wisdom. He went around questioning people, questioning existing beliefs. What was the actual philosophy?
Well, it's hard like we talked about before, we only know Socrates' works through other people, mostly Plato.
Mm-hmm.
And what Plato did was he started to use Socrates to talk about his own ideas, use him as a character in his books.
Mm-hmm.
And the early books, we think, are quite accurate. But the later books, it slowly becomes Plato's ideas, not Socrates' ideas.
Mm.
And the key thing that Socrates really gave to the Western tradition was this idea of knowing that you don't know.
Knowing
having doubt.
That you don't know. 如果我要翻译的话，可能就是知道自己认知的边界，知道自己不知道什么。That's very profound, actually. The other day I was talking about some logical fallacies, and it also mentioned this, the power of knowing what you don't know.
Right, so there's a really good story that shows how Socrates uses this kind of wisdom or comes to this kind of wisdom. So when he's in Athens and there's an oracle's a person who knows about the future and has some kind of special mystical knowledge.
就是一个先知、嗯、
And he goes to the oracle at Delphi, Delphi's a place, and says, everybody says that I'm wise,、
嗯、
but I'm not so sure that I am wise. What do you think?、
Mm-hmm.
And the oracle says to Socrates, you're the wisest man in Athens.
Wow.
You're the wisest man in our country. And Socrates replies and says, that can't be true. I don't really know very much at all.I don't feel like I'm very wise. How can I be the wisest person?、
Mm.
So he goes back to Athens and he talks to doctors, he talks to lawyers, he goes around asking people questions. And over time, he slowly comes to the realization that he is the wisest man in Athens. But the reason he's the wisest man is not because he knows so many things, it's because he knows the limits of his own knowledge. And that、is what true wisdom is.
It's kind of like he was the actual wisest man because he didn't know and didn't believe that he was the wisest man. He still thought there was so much that he did not know.
Right, his modesty and his understanding of his own limitations、mm. were the wisdom itself.
And how would you say that Socrates, his thoughts and philosophy and all of these questioning spirit, how would you say that has influenced Western way of thinking?
I think...You can see this all the way through the Western tradition. There was a brief period in the Middle Ages where that kind of idea wasn't so popular, but from the Renaissance onwards, this idea of we have to question everything, we have to do more experiments, we have to validate everything、
mm.
is very Western and really starts with Socrates.
所以这种质疑精神最早就是从苏格拉底来的。
Right, yeah, I think that would be、fair to say.And the same thing when I went to university, in my seminars, my professors are always saying, how do you know? What about this counter-example、that I have to your position on all of these things, really trying to grill me and push me to understand the limits of what I know and really build a solid foundation for my knowledge.
So that's the way, using debate to question what you have said.To push you to come up with more evidence, more supporting arguments.
Right, just like exercise,、
mm.
that you need to be pushed, you need to find the limits, and that's the only way you can run faster or lift heavier weights. And the same thing with philosophy, it's like a muscle that you have to practice.
You know what? I don't think it's just in academic world, it's not just in universities. I'm really into like crime shows and courtroom dramas.If you look at Western courtrooms, 就是西方的这个法庭 the cross-examination, 这种交叉盘问的这个环节 it's also a bit like that. It's、pushing you to try, it's keep questioning you. So I think that perhaps it's a little bit of a Socratic tradition there as well.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that example before, but I think you're completely right.So if you wanted to, Lulu, we could try and do a little bit of the Socratic method now.
Okay.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I want to see how that is done. So how should we start?
Usually what Socrates does is ask about a concept. He asks you a question that seems like you would know the answer to, but it's actually quite difficult to answer.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, what is love? is a common kind of Socratic question.
What is love? That's a very, very big question. I don't know. I think love in the big sense is perhaps about an internal desire to try to make things better for the world and for other people. That would be my explanation, but my perception.
And then Socrates would give examples, counterexamples. So you said making the world better for other people. Socrates would say, well, what about loving yourself? What does that mean? Surely you have to love yourself as well as other people.
I think loving myself, because myself being part of the world, I am, in a matter of fact, also making the world a better place.
You said it, so loving things is making things better. So if I change my essay to make it better, that means I love my essay?
Your essay?
Right, if I write an article or write something down and I want to make it better, if love is just making things better, then every time I make something better, does that mean I love that thing?
I don't think love is necessarily directed at the thing that you want to improve. It's through this improvement. I think love in this sense is quite vague. It doesn't have to be so specific as in your love for the essay. Okay, I get it. I get it, TJ.
Yeah,
I get
it's difficult.
It does feel like hard. I'm being grilled. It does feel like I'm being put at the stand and trying to justify myself.
I do think that's one thing. Sometimes, having lived in China for more than a few years now, I do sometimes think the collaborative way. So there's a Chinese TV show called The Round Table, Yuan Zhuo Pai, and they talk about things and they try not to be rude to each other. They try to work together to solve the answer. So I do think that sometimes the Socratic method can be a little bit too direct.
Too confrontational.
A little bit too intense. Yeah, it can be sometimes.
Yeah, but it could be, probably there would be a balance or at least a mixture. But I definitely would think that Socratic method, 苏格拉底的这种辩论, is very good for critical thinking, 这种批判性思维.
Right, and I think it's very good if you have a teacher and a student, it's very, very good for the teacher if they really want to push the student to think and justify themselves. It's a very good tool, but it's not one you want to use all the time with your friends and family, otherwise you might get into trouble.
Because then you would just be difficult. You'd just be a 杠精. Right.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming to the show. I've definitely learned so much about Socrates. And hopefully in the future, you'll come to the show more often. Tell us about your perspective, especially some more interesting stories about Western philosophy.
My pleasure. Any opportunity I get to talk about philosophy, I usually take.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.